there are terrorist groups like the Islamic State, there's the leader of North Korea, and there's Vladimir Putin, the leader of Russia. Garry Kasparov insists that Putin is the most dangerous of them all. Armed with lots of weapons and lots of cash, Russia's leader has grown into something far more than a dictator. He remains an international threat at the center of what Kasparov calls a worldwide assault on political liberty and the modern world order. Garry Kasparov has a new book out on all this, Winter is Coming, Why Vladimir Putin and the Enemies of the Free World Must Be Stopped. He was the number one ranked chess player for 20 years. He speaks in town tonight, and he's back with us for the first time since December 1st, 2010. And Garry, welcome back.
Thanks for inviting me again.
You're laughing because you came in and you looked at me and you said the last time you
December 2nd.
You're off
mistake.
By a date.
Yes, I failed miserably just to recollect the date.
This is the difference between me and you. You're a world chess champion. I can't remember who was on the show yesterday, and you're remembering 5 years ago. That's very impressive. You were in a big rush to release this book. Tell us why.
Oh, yes. I entered the doors of the publishing house with my associate and co-author, Mick Gringert, in mid-January this year, And I told him that, you know, we had the book, we could present it. It was not, of course, ready, but I wanted the book to be published in October. And they looked at me and asked, October 2016. I said, no, 2015, because I believe the book, you know, could help to encourage bipartisan debate about the future of U.S. foreign policy, because the United States, as the most globalized economy, cannot afford to ignore global security. And I have a story to tell, because it's not only the story of the rise and fall of Russian democracy from Gorbachev's retreat from Eastern Europe and Putin's to Putin's invasion of Ukraine, and my personal perspective as a witness and in many cases participant of these events, but it's also the story of the Western inaction, actually misunderstanding of the nature of dictatorships. And since we're facing these threats now, it's very important to learn from the history, both from the Cold War, how the Cold War was won, and how the values of the free world helped to ensure this victory, and also how many mistakes were made in the last 25 years. And when they looked at me, saying, maybe you could manage to bring up the book in time, but how could you publicize the book? Because, you know, it's the Russia foreign policy. I said, don't worry. It doesn't make me feel happy, but I can guarantee you that Vladimir Putin will put Russia and all his, you know, foreign aggressive acts. It's on the front page of every newspaper. So
he's done it. He's helped Garry Kasparov off.
Yes. You know, at one point, you know, I thought, okay, I'm even tired of being right all the time, predicting, you know, what Putin would do next. You know, I'm looking for politicians who could prove me wrong.
What doesn't the West get? What doesn't President Barack Obama understand about this dictatorship? What doesn't he get about Vladimir Putin?
No, actually, you know, many mistakes were made already in the 90s, because America, after the end of the Cold War, won triumphantly, was the only superpower and could do many great things to change the global landscape. But it was a very different mood. So, I mean, everybody thought it was the sort of the end of history. You know, we could celebrate, we could, you know, think about other affairs, and the evil will never resurrect. It was a big mistake, and American foreign policy that was, you know, quite firmed and concentrated during the Cold War, and the differences between administrations, Democrats and Republicans, they were all within the range. But then we could see U.S. policy, you know, acting as a pendulum, you know, swinging. One side was Bill Clinton doing little, then George W. doing too much, and then Obama doing nothing. The problem is that Obama has been facing Putin's dictatorship, you know, at the most dangerous moment. It's a last phase of dictatorship. Putin needed friends yet when he wanted to solidify his power. Now Putin needs enemies. And not recognizing the fact that the conflict with Putin, who I called many times the boss of bosses, capo di tutti capi, of all dictators in the world, not recognizing that this conflict is unavoidable, I mean, simply pushes the price up. Because every day we delay the confrontation, every day we delay a strong response, we simply, you know, embolden dictators, we send a message to Putin, to Iranians, to other thugs, that, you know, they could keep pushing.
We delay the response because the argument goes, we don't want to provoke this man. We don't want to encourage World War III, so we're backing away.
That's, we heard this argument in the Soviets, you know, let's not provoke Nazi Germany. Let's make a peace. You know, let's make all the concessions.
Is there a direct correlation between this and Nazi Germany?
Yes, because it's about an algorithm. We're not here, you know, just to make direct comparisons, you know, between Russia today and Nazi Germany at that time, Hitler, Putin. But we could see how dictator is getting more arrogant by receiving these concessions, because dictators, whether it's Putin, Hitler, Stalin, and you name it, they never ask why. They always ask why not. Mm-hmm. And we know from the Cold War history that, you know, making even small concessions always emboldened dictators and sort of created even more dangerous situations. And for those who keep telling me and everybody that, oh, Putin is so dangerous, how could you provoke him? Because, you know, it could lead to such a dramatic consequences. A, my response is it will happen anyway, because, you know, you are dealing with somebody who made anti-Americanism, who made his aggressive foreign policy a core of his domestic agenda. And let's remember, 1948, Harry Truman faced Joseph Stalin, not Vladimir Putin, Joseph Stalin, mm-hmm. who decided to take over West Berlin. And for 11 months, American planes has been bringing everything that was needed to West Berlin. It was an airlift operation. And Stalin hasn't shot a single American plane, because all dictators who stayed in power for so long, they have a great animal instinct. They could smell whether they could attack, they could push, or they have to back off.
Gary Kasparov, chess master and political activist, is my guest. Gary, you write this in the new book. This generation of Western leaders refuses to admit that evil still exists in this world and that it must be fought on absolute terms, not negotiated with. It's clear at the moment, you add, that the democracies of the 21st century are not ready for this fight.
Absolutely. We have the generation of politicians who are just playing a safe game.
Mm-hmm.
You can blame them, but you should also remember that this agenda is very popular. Barack Obama was elected twice, you know, receiving 70 million votes mm-hmm. each time. And, you know, his ideas of bringing boys back home, you know, and reducing American engagement in the world, this idea was and still is quite popular among many Americans. But we reached a point where, you know, you can't pretend that you can solve domestic issues. You can look at the jobs, you know, and economic recovery and interest rates separately from foreign policy, because the world is global. The world is getting smaller every day. And everybody likes, you know, that's the global trade, global business, global finance, global cultural exchange. But unfortunately, the devices we use to promote this global agenda, they're agnostic. They're not neither good nor bad. And unfortunately, terrorists can also use these devices to promote their agenda. Mm-hmm. And we could see that they are very effective, very skillful to use devices invented by the free world to attack the very foundation of our life.
So, Gary, you'd like to see the West, you'd like to see the United States do what at this point going forward? What's the prescription?
Let's start with the United States. It's all about leadership. You know, we hear very often that, you know, there's a choice between this horrible, let's say, horrible deal with Iran. I believe it's complete failure. It's just getting into the war. So either peace with concessions, an appeasement, or war. I can tell to you, these critics, that between this war and peace alternatives, there is a big territory called leadership. Hmm. And that's what we need to see. America, again, whether somebody likes it or not, it's the leader of the free world. Mm-hmm. And if America does nothing, or even worse, leading from behind, it demoralizes the supporters of liberty and human rights around the globe.
So you want us to do what?
It's about restoring the credibility of the office, because you cannot afford to draw red lines as Obama did 2 years ago and then walk away, because, you know, it betrays your friends. Mm-hmm. America has been steadily, you know, losing credibility in the eyes of allies, long-term allies like Israel, many other countries in Europe, in the Middle East, and emboldening enemies. And right now, it's very important to devise a strategy. That's what is important, is to actually, you know, send a message that there is a strategy and start doing something. And Putin is number one target, I believe, because, you know, attacking his interests and isolating him will help in many, many other instances. Stop telling that Putin can help us with Iran, can help us in the Middle East. Putin has no interest in helping America because his agenda is exactly the opposite. America needs global stability to promote business.
Because he's made that very clear in Syria. So, but I'm still wondering, how aggressive do you want us to get when he's going into Ukraine? What kind of response to the U.S. provide here?
Yeah, but let's not forget, in 2008, he attacked and invaded the tiny Republic of Georgia. And instead of any kind of punishment, the new administration, Obama administration, and a new Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, they offered him a sunshine policy, the very famous reset button. For Putin, it was a clear signal. You know, any former Soviet republic was in so-called his sphere of influence, because that's his vision of the world. It should be divided, like in the 19th or in the first half of the 20th century, in the spheres of influence, influences, and Russia, Putin's Russia, had rights to dictate the terms for Ukraine, Georgia, and other former Soviet republics. America imposed sanctions on some of the Putin oligarchs, but there are sanctions and sanctions. These sanctions are very mild because they are not devastating for the for economic and financial interests of major state-owned corporations in Russia, and also for key people who could probably change Russian agenda if they recognize that with Putin there would be no future for them and for the country.
But the argument with sanctions always is they hurt the people, not the leaders themselves.
Look, it's yes, sanctions may hurt the people, but you know, at the end of the day, you know, you have to create a situation that public, whether you're talking about middle class or about elite, they recognize the consequences of the aggressive foreign policy or other acts to destroy global stability. And in case of Russia, there are many things that can be done addressing these audiences, like Moscow middle class or Russian oligarchs, convincing them that sanctions would not go away while Putin is in power, because so far Putin's propaganda machine won this battle. Many in Russia believe that while country is experiencing problems and economy is not in a good shape, but Putin prevailed before and he will prevail again, because his opposition, when you look at Obama or European politicians, is too weak to challenge him on the global stage.
Garry Kasparov is my guest. He'll be speaking tonight at 6:30 at the Plaza Branch of the Kansas City Public Library. To grab a seat or to RSVP, go to kclibrary.org. That's tonight at 6:30 at the Plaza Branch of the Kansas City Public Library. If you want to join our conversation here with our very interesting speaker, 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Again, 816-235-2888, or tweet us at KCUR up to date. Whatever happened, Garry, became of the democracy movement in Russia. Where are we? It's disappeared.
Yes.
Putin made sure it did. I get that.
Putin won this battle because, you know, he succeeded in convincing Russian public that at the beginning of his rule that he was a democratically elected leader. And here where the Western powers help him dramatically, because no matter what we said 10 years ago about Vladimir Putin, for any average Russians hearing our criticism, and of course we didn't have access to mass media, just very limited resources to address this point, but they could see on the screen Putin surrounded by Bush, Blair, Berlusconi, Chirac, all the leaders of the free world, and he treated him as equal. In 2006, he was a host of the G8 summit, you know, of great
industrial. And that's all the Russian people need to convince them that he's a democratically elected leader?
Yeah, but many Russians, I would even say Soviets, they had very little idea about democracy, how it worked, you know. All they knew in 89, 1990, 1991, that the communism was not functioning anymore. So they wanted to move to new reality. But many of them believed that, you know, democracy was quite a simple system. You vote and you get benefits. It's like, you know, they confused ballot box with ATM machine. And the 90s were quite tumultuous years. It's Yeltsin's years were not very beneficial for millions and millions of Russians, but eventually economy was, you know, has been gradually picking up, And by the way, the best year for Russian economy was 2000. Economy recovered after
shortly after Putin was in power, came to power.
He came to power, but it was a result of the even not complete reforms. Was very feeble foundation for democracy under Yeltsin, but the country was moving in the right direction. And then you had a KGB guy, who said several times, once KGB, always KGB. Hmm. And the first thing he did, he brought back the Soviet anthem. Just to send a signal, what was in his mind, if given a chance that he would like to restore the power of the former Soviet Union. And it's amazingly that, many Western leaders, starting with George W. Bush, who looked in his eyes and said, I just saw his soul and we could do business with him, to Barack Obama administrations, both administrations, and Hillary Clinton, the State Department, and now John Kerry, they pretend, or maybe they believe even, that they could do business with Putin because there's some common ground. There is no common ground. Mm-hmm. Putin has been using them just for his short-term gains, because at the end of the day, he has to stay in power. He doesn't care about anything else. And it's simple tactic of survival. He knows that what happens today is important. What happens tomorrow morning is important. The rest is he doesn't even think about it. Mm. And instead of using the power of lasting institutions, and to devise a strategy to minimize Putin's negative influence, and now to confront him, he shows his teeth everywhere. American diplomacy has been desperately trying to engage Putin, mm-hmm. and he loves it. More America talks, more Putin acts.
Garry Kasparov's new book, Winter is Coming, Why Vladimir Putin and the Enemies of the Free World Must Be Stopped. You title the book Winter is Coming, Why?
Oh, of course, it's the tribute to a great show, Game of Thrones, and also the book. I'm a big fan of the book. I read the book. And the winter is coming. It's the whole idea of this slogan is actually to warn about dark and dangerous times ahead of us. Mm-hmm. And that's a warning. So it's I'm not trying to be too sort of political, taking sides here, but I'm just giving a weather forecast. It's a geopolitical weather forecast. And also to tell people that history is not linear. It always goes in cycles. And we are now entering this season. But this season, unlike, in climate, this season could be longer or shorter, depending on our ability or inability to make ourselves ready for these dark and dangerous times.
How close is the democratic movement in Russia from reawakening and going public again? Or are the restrictions that Putin has placed in the country simply making that unlikely?
Russia today is full-blown one-man dictatorship.
Yeah.
It's, everything is under state control. And the state propaganda today, it's probably even worse than in the Soviet time, because it contains no element of the positive future. It's all about hatred. It's about, war, aggression, confrontation. And how can we talk about, opposition in Russia, after my very close friend and ally Boris Nemtsov, the former deputy prime minister under Yeltsin, and many believed at one point he was even Yeltsin's successor. Unfortunately, Yeltsin moved in the wrong direction, picking up Putin. He was gunned down in front of the Kremlin. And of course, this murder is still unresolved. That was a clear message to anybody who has been trying to stand his ground against Putin in Russia, that there are limits. And because Nemtsov was one of the fiercest critics of Putin, who lived in Russia, and he was brave and too proud to leave our country, knowing that his life was in danger. And I think that this murder was a message.
Where do you live today?
In New York, and actually I left Russia in February 2013 upon Boris' advice, who told me after I was summoned by investigative committee to testify or just give them some information about political activities of the opposition. I mean, he said that's Garry, you entered the building as a witness, and if you leave the building, most likely you'll be the suspect. So leave the country, because we'll need you outside just to continue our fight.
Do you travel with bodyguards today?
No. No, I never traveled with bodyguards outside of Russia. I do understand that, you know, anybody who has been criticizing Putin could be potentially in danger. But, you know, I'm outside of Russia. I'm not visiting countries that offer Russian authorities an opportunity to hurt me. But otherwise, I have a simple view that is, if they want to go after you, so there's not much you can do. And having bodyguards just will be an intrusion in my private life.
You've proposed a new global Magna Carta. What do you have in mind?
Yeah, it's actually this idea has been quite popular. You know, it's from the beginning of the United Nations history. Winston Churchill in his famous Iron Curtain speech here in the state of Missouri.
In Fulton.
70, yes, yeah. Westminster College, you know. This, I remember the day, March the 5th.
Yes.
Yes. We'll soon celebrate the 70th anniversary.
A little more important than your last appearance here on Up to Date, I understand.
Yeah, and it's the, yes. He warned about the dangers of United Nations turning into the gridlock and the source of the corruption and a display for dictators. Even JFK, you know, talked about, you know, some kind of a League of Democracies. And the idea has been discussed in more details by Senator McCain. But I just believe that, you know, to move forward, to come up a plan, a vision for the future, the free world, led by the United States, must come up with a concept that will create an institution that will be based on these values. It will not be, as the United Nations today, a cockpit for Tower of Babel with dictators, you know, using its platform to promote their agenda.
I got to ask you one question about chess. We're running short of time. You never faced Bobby Fischer.
No.
Would you have beaten him? What's your forecast? Could you have taken him on?
Yeah, look, I think it's just comparing chess players that lived in different moments of the, in history, it's not fair. So Fischer in 1972, at his peak, you know, was phenomenal player, but his knowledge of chess compared to, for instance, what the average grandmaster knows today, was insufficient.
Just 30 seconds. The importance of Rex Singfield, the Republican benefactor in Missouri, he's had a huge influence on the chess world in this country and around the world.
Absolutely. The St. Louis today is the capital of chess in the United States, and I would say even in the world. It's an amazing chess compound, including St. Louis Chess Club and Scholastic Center, together with the Chess Hall of Fame. And Rex has been very generous in supporting almost all chess activities in this country. And thanks to him, this country has many young talents now, and the chess is on the rise.
That's so interesting. Gary Kasparov's new book, Winter is Coming, Why Vladimir Putin and the Enemies of the Free World Must Be Stopped. He speaks tonight at 6:30 at the Plaza Branch of the Kansas City Public Library. More information, kclibrary.org. A pleasure to have you again. Don't forget the date that you were on.
No,
we'll do it again sometime.
It's like carved in stone now.
Yeah.